Episode
16.
We are counting them down.
We are?
Somewhere.
To what?
To the end of the year.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
See how many we get in before then. Right? So this week, we're talking about something that all of us have in common.
Oh, yeah.
And it is all about control.
Yeah.
How many of us love to be in control?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And how many of us hate it when we're not in control?
Yeah.
Right? And
100%.
This is something that we all experience. We experience in our families. You know, if you're a parent that has kids, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, when your kids are young, there's a lot of control.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, but
so for you right now, you know, you're in that time of the life where the kids are small. I mean, and yeah, you can exert a lot of control over
for
them,
sure.
Right.
No, for sure.
I'm in that time of life.
That's over.
They're
all gone. They gone.
I have no control.
You gave them a license.
Exactly. So it happens with our families, right? It happens even in our careers, our jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
We learn real quick that there are a lot of things under our control, but then there's those times when things are not.
Yeah.
We see it even in our church.
No, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I just had a conversation this morning with a gentleman. We're talking about, you know, me as a pastor, how sometimes I feel like I need to control the growth of our church.
Right. Yeah. Oh, right? Absolutely.
When I know it's out of my control.
Yeah. But we try anyway.
So, you know, control is one of those things. We want to see, we want to measure, we want to track everything in our life.
Yeah.
No, and the whole reason we're doing it is because we like what we can see in front of us.
Yeah.
We don't like the invisible or the unknown.
Yeah.
And if we can't see it working, then our immediate assumption is it's not working.
It's broken.
Right? And if I don't have visible proof of it, if it's not right in front of my eyes, I can handle it, feel it, touch it, manipulate it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right.
Then it's not happening. It's not working and it's not going to work.
May as well give up. Yeah, exactly. Give up and walk away.
So the message this week really was this. What if everything you're looking for is already happening? Right.
Yeah.
You just can't see it.
Right.
It's unseen. It's invisible.
Right. Yeah.
And that's really what John chapter 16 is all about. It's all about the Holy Spirit, who obviously is unseen.
Yeah.
It's about the work of the Holy Spirit, how he works. And as you know in the message, been tying it to witnessing.
Right.
Because that's one of the areas where we want control.
Yeah.
But it really isn't under our control.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
As you listen to the message.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was something that stuck with you? You went away with, and you were thinking, "Man, okay, yeah, I get that one."
And you brought it out plenty in the message, but it really is so profound. The idea that we need to let the outcome go.
Yeah.
And I know we hear that, and it sounds super simple. Oh, well, just don't worry about the outcome. Blah 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 blah. I, you know, yeah, but it really is a point to stop. And really, really think about what does that mean? What are the implications of just letting the outcome go and giving it to God?
And again, you know, just to kind of give this a little bit more meat, why are we so concerned about the outcome?
Yeah. Well, but I it's valid, right? We are concerned. I don't want to misrepresent God or the Bible or mess up and confuse somebody, right? I hear that all the time.
Or even the people that say, well, you know, I've invited someone.
Tried and failed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And they'll come to me a lot of times as a pastor and say, you know, Pastor, you keep asking me to do this and I'm doing it and nothing's happening.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, quit asking me.
Right. It's almost like it's on our, like a report card, right?
Yeah.
We got an F, right?
Right.
And it's just like, I'm already failing in it. Like, I don't want I don't want to do it anymore, right?
Yeah, and we just get so wrapped up in the outcome of what. Yeah,
exactly, and it is tough.
Yeah,
right. I mean that's hard. It's hard to put in so much work and it not come out the way you want it to. That's difficult. That's a struggle.
Yeah,
but it's also an excuse to not do it.
Yeah, and we love excuses.
Oh man. even more, we like excuses that make sense,
mm-hmm.
right? We like excuses that make sense.
Yep.
And I can think of a million excuses, right? I've asked our teens this, and you know, I got the same answers from them that I get from adults, right? It's like, what if an atheist starts wanting to argue about evolution with me, right? Or somebody wants me to explain the account of Genesis scientifically, and I'm just not prepared for that. I don't know what to do. And it is scary, right? We do get worried about that. We get bogged down with that. But it is an excuse.
Again, it's a thing that comes back to, I just don't want to look like a fool.
Right, yeah.
So it really comes back to another sinful thing that we're dealing with, right, which is pride, right? Right. You know, and the whole point of the message,
mm-hmm.
and the point of what we're talking about today is there are certain things you just got to let go.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to release those things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That was the title of the message, What Must Be Released. And I have to release my pride.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I may not have the answer.
Right. Yeah. No.
I know. Is there anything wrong with not having the answer?
No.
You know, so I think you're right.
And I think you park on that point, and then you think about when you kind of shed that need to control the outcome, mm-hmm. and then what does it look like?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's so much easier now, right? Like it's so much easier,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And any excuse, really, because the excuse when you keep that on, right, mm-hmm. of the outcome can sound very spiritual. Right, because it really can. It's like, oh, I don't want to misrepresent the Bible.
Right.
Or something. Like, oh, well, that sounds really spiritual. I don't want to confuse someone about the gospel. Well, that sounds really spiritual, right? It sounds very spiritual. But when you say, okay, well, God's in control of the outcome, so I'm gonna throw that burden off. What are the excuses now? What are the excuses? Oh, well, I don't think I have time for that. Well, right, they don't sound as spiritual anymore.
but then the excuse also starts to sound like, I don't believe God can do what God can do.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And nobody wants to go there.
Right. Yeah.
Because everybody believes, you know, believers, okay. that God can do anything.
Yeah.
Right? But if I give up, you know, if I don't do the witnessing, we get ourselves so strung up in this thing.
Right? When you wear that coat of, I'm just scared of what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah.
I really think underneath, and that's why I think this is really a profound thing to think about. I think when you remove that, you start to see more of what you're talking about.
Yeah,
exactly. Is it, can God actually do anything with my effort?
Yeah.
Can God actually do anything with my work? Is anything, can God do it?
Yeah.
Right?
I think one of the amazing things about God is how much he wants to use us.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Yes, it's his work. It's his power.
Absolutely.
He does those. You know, the great thing here, because the whole John chapter 16 is about the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing about it is God could have used his Spirit in any number of ways.
Right? Oh, absolutely. I mean,
there's so many ways. But he chose to use it through believers.
Yeah.
He placed his Spirit in us.
Yeah.
And in what he's saying to us is, yes, I want you to be a witness for me. And oh, by the way, because we've talked about this in the message,
mm-hmm.
when you do, not a lot of good things are going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
There's going to be good things that happen.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. The world's going to hate us. They're going to persecute us. They're going to do those things. And don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Right. That's the key thing here. Because what? I have given you my Spirit.
Yeah.
And he will speak my truth
through
you.
Through you.
You. But you've got to be willing.
Exactly.
Right.
I try to say this to people, and I try to challenge people with this, but God's sanctified method of working on this earth is through people.
Yeah.
That's how he designed it.
Yep.
God could have designed it any other way.
Yeah.
He could have had it where we had little angels that walked around and it was, that was their job. Yeah. And we didn't have to do any of that. He could have done, he could have designed things any other number of ways.
Yeah.
But he did it this way.
Yeah.
And he said, you are the tool. I'm the craftsman, right? You know, I'm the worker, I'm the builder, but you're the tool.
Which goes back to my, something I preach all the time, something that I push all the time.
Yeah.
Is just how personal God is.
Yeah.
How much he loves us, how much he cares for us.
Absolutely.
And you, even in this area, you can't escape that thought, that concept, that principle, that understanding of reality of who he is.
God has designed everything where we are. It really is a team. It's a closeness. Mm-hmm. Everything that he has designed.
Yeah.
There's nothing just this abstract, or y'all just go do your thing over here and I'm going to get to work. No, everything he does is this closeness, this teamwork.
You see it in everything. You see it in the family. You see it in the local church.
Yeah.
You see it in our relationship with him. Mm-hmm. You see it in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Right? Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a great thing. Now, for me, as I was getting ready for the sermon as a priest, the message, there's an interesting thing that happens here.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I never picked up on it until I was studying through these chapters.
Yeah.
And we all know that John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is this running conversation that Christ is having with his disciples.
Right.
The conversation starts in the upper room, right? Yeah. It starts there, and then it continues as they leave the upper room. And as they're walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane,
right?
A lot's going to happen in the garden.
Yeah.
Christ is getting ready. He's preparing them, right? But in the beginning, they're full of questions.
Yeah.
You know, Philip is asking this. Peter's wanting to know that.
Yeah.
But by the time you get to John chapter 16, nobody's saying anything. Right. The weight of what Christ is saying is really starting to weigh on them. And Christ even notes, sorrow has now filled their hearts, right?
Right.
And they've stopped asking the questions.
Yeah.
And he says in John chapter 16, you're not asking anymore, where am I going?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because sorrow has filled your heart. And they are beginning to realize at this moment that this person who they have put all their hopes, all their dreams in, right? And I cannot belabor this too much.
Right.
I mean, these men had given up their homes, their families.
Yeah.
They believed,
for sure.
They believed in their hearts that he was the Messiah. And by the way, he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
But they thought that he was going to set up his kingdom then.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, John and his brother have already petitioned, you know, and we have a very significant place and position in this kingdom that you're going to establish.
Right.
So they're waiting for Rome to be overthrown, him to step up as the king of Israel, and issue in this golden age for all of Israel, right? But now he's telling them, nope, that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm going back. And I think we're very much like them.
Right.
We get so focused on what we're seeing in front of us. And when that, what we're focused on, gets ripped away from us, which literally what happened to the disciples. And I put this into the message. Here were these men. Where were they at the cross?
Yeah.
And why were they not there? Now, you know, I can tell, you know, I know everybody's going to say, well, John was there. Get it. Okay. And John had a whole different perspective on things, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. But the rest of them, where were they? You know, Peter's already denied him and left.
Right.
Right. Yeah. The rest of them have already left as well. Yeah. And why? Because the thing they had put their hopes and trust in, is the thing that they could see, the person they had been with, is dead. He's dying. I mean, even on the morning of the resurrection, where were they? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. They're holding up in a room afraid for their lives.
Yeah.
They're not even concept of him being alive took them by surprise.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, when you stop and think about it, that's the same thing that happens to us.
Yeah.
When we get so fixated on what we can see and what we control, and then it gets ripped out of our hands.
Yeah.
We freeze up.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And the whole reason, as the message, is because we're living by sight.
Yeah.
And we're not living by faith.
Yeah. And that requires a change of mindset and a level of maturity, right? Because everything in my life, I rely on things that I can see, right? Yeah. This chair wasn't invisible.
Right, right.
If you had told me when we were starting the podcast, Andrew, there's an invisible chair here. Just sit down and trust me. Yeah. I wouldn't have done it.
you're an idiot.
Then like he's gone senile. Right? It's over. I need to call Becky.
Time to call for
where is his wife? Needed to deal with him. I wouldn't have believed you. I wouldn't have sat down.
True.
I can see this chair, so I sat in this chair. Yeah. And that's everything in our life. Yeah. I interact with the things I can see. I put my trust in the things that I can see. And then God comes in and says, the most important thing for you to trust is this thing that you can't see.
Exactly, exactly. And the, you know, again, this brings us back to Hebrews 11:1 and the very definition of faith, right?
Yeah.
And I think I know that early in my Christian life, I struggled with 11:1.
Yeah.
You know, what does that mean?
Right.
But now, as I've gotten older, as I've matured, as I've studied scripture, I understand what it's saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But he's there.
Yeah.
You can't always see what the Holy Spirit is doing, but it's working. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so our whole Christian life is really based on whether or not I'm going to live my life trusting what I cannot see.
Yeah.
Versus trusting what I can see.
Yeah.
And I think that is really the essence of it.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question since we're on the topic.
Yeah, because, of course.
I had this same discussion this morning.
Yep.
Already, before the podcast. What does a person's life look like? Now, I don't want a very deep theological answer here.
Right. Okay,
because I don't think it's very deep, to be honest.
okay. Bet.
Yeah. What does a person's life look like that is actually living by faith versus living by sight?
Living by faith versus living by sight.
I think there's just one key word here. I'm putting him on the spot. I want to see if he can, you know, come up with a key word.
Faith.
Right. Okay. Faith, obviously. Right.
You said it with one word, but that really boxed me in.
because there's a very practical thing that I think is so simple that people just jump over it.
Right.
And it's just living in obedience.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, everybody claims Abraham as being this great man of faith. And by the way, he was a great man of faith.
Absolutely.
But Abraham was a man of obedience.
Yeah.
Which is faith.
Yeah.
I mean, take the greatest moment in his life that we say was the biggest act of faith ever.
Right.
To walk up the mountain with his son, knowing that God had asked him to do what? Sacrifice his only son, the promised son.
Yeah.
On that altar.
Yeah.
He didn't hesitate. Yeah. He did exactly what God wanted, walked up the mountain, and we said, oh, I don't know if I could ever do that. Why? Why do we say that? Because we're living by sight. We're not living by faith.
Yeah.
He was living by faith. You know, later in Hebrews, it explains that, you know, Abraham literally had in his mind that if God literally went through and he killed his son,
he'd have to bring him back to
life. That he would bring him back to life.
Yeah, he'd have to, because God had already made the promise. Like, yeah. Here he is.
Exactly.
Like, this is him.
But, you know, how many of us would have been wrapped up in, this is our only son. This is the all I have. This is all I got.
I'll kill him. He's dead and it's over.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. You know, and I'm, you know, we're not advocating going out and murdering your children.
Right. Okay, this was a very specific circumstance.
Exactly. Well, let's just put that out there right now. But at the same time, you know, the principle is still the same, yeah. right? The thought of how much, let's put it in the perspective of witnessing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Because that is a very real thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how many people will not witness because they're not willing to sacrifice a friendship?
Right. Right.
Or sacrifice a position.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, how many people, a great example of this is, okay, Thanksgiving is going to be coming soon, right? You know, it's crazy that we're even thinking about that right now, but it, and, you know, and a lot of people go home, they'll be with their families. They know that there's going to be family members there that are not of faith, that they're unbelievers, that they don't know the things of God. They're concerned about them. They want to witness to them. They want to share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
But how many of them will actually say something?
Right. Yeah.
Sitting at the Thanksgiving table.
Yeah.
Simply not to lose that relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that living by faith or is that living by sight?
Right. Yeah. It's by sight.
Yeah. Because faith says, I'm going to rely on the unseen power of the Holy Spirit to help me in that moment to say the right words.
Well, it goes back to what we've been talking about with the outcome. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Faith is going to say the outcome's up to God.
Yeah.
And so you get past that. It's just like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just get it done. And that it's the faith that drives that obedience. Mm-hmm. And faith drives all obedience. Yeah. Right. I read my Bible because I have faith that I'm going to read it and I'm going to benefit from it.
Yeah.
God is going to mature me spiritually. He's going to teach me something. He's going to make something stick out to me that someone else is going to need later. Mm-hmm. And now I've read it and I'm like, oh yeah, it's right there. Let me take you over here and show you. All obedience gets driven by that faith. Because if I don't have faith,
right,
then my obedience is just, it's just formulaic.
Yeah.
It's just a job.
And that's why they're so much related to each other, right? I mean, it, you know, again, two sides of a coin.
Yeah,
they're the same coin. Yeah. One's faith, absolutely. One's obedience, and it's just amazing. And you know, if you stop thinking, this is an amazing topic, really, because it drives so much.
Yes, it does.
In our life every day, right?
Yeah, I'm a big faith guy. I think faith is. I mean, that's where you start.
Yeah,
exactly. To me, that's where it begins, and that's where it begins with salvation. You trust what God did, and that He could save you. And faith is where it all starts.
Amen. All right, let's get to some questions then.
Yeah.
Obviously, anytime you preach a message, you can't get everything in it. So there's always questions that arise that didn't get answered. Let's start with you. What was the one you had? I know what you're going to say because it's on the notes here. And I think it's really good. So let's go with it.
So I've always found this interesting. Maybe it's my heathen mind, right? Because the temptation when you hear a message like this is if God is already so in control of the outcome, then do I even have to try?
And a lot of people will go to the verse. In fact, I was sharing this verse this morning. Let's see, it's 1 Peter. And I want to share this verse because it ties right into what you're saying.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
And this is the classic verse that everybody wants to bring out. Let's see, where do we... Like, give me a minute to find it.
We're on hold. Wait for it.
All right. I'll just tell you what the verse says. Okay. I'll find it in a minute. Finally. I had to look it up this morning. Oh, here it is. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So a lot of people use that as, I don't need to study because whenever it comes up, I'll just know what to say.
Yep, right. Okay. All right. So. And it really is, it's a struggle, but I think it's a struggle because people don't understand the, partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this from me. I have a little controversial, it tends to come across controversial.
Uh-oh. Oh my goodness.
But I'm right. Okay.
See, he's not letting me do the controversial things today.
It's my turn.
I'm rubbing off on him too much. All right. Let's hear it. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. Everyone's waiting. Here it comes. I have stopped using phrases or wording. I'm not getting on to anyone that does, because I understand where they're coming from. But I've stopped saying anything like, you know what, you know, God's got it, so I'm just going to leave it to him. You know, I'm just gonna let him take care of things. You know, God's in control, so I'm just gonna stand back. I stop saying anything like that because I don't like it. We're supposed to be working. I said this earlier. God's sanctified method of working on this earth is through people.
Yeah.
Not because he is weak.
Yeah.
Not because he couldn't do it himself. Not because he's incapable,
yeah.
Not because he doesn't have the power or the authority. It's for none of those reasons. It is for the sole reason that God has chosen, because only God can do this, to limit himself to work through us.
Yeah.
It's not that he couldn't have done it differently.
I don't feel like it's that controversial.
Hey, I'm telling you. I've had to do some explaining.
Me and you are probably pretty much on the same but you're exactly right, because all that becomes is an excuse for not doing what we know what we're supposed to be. And if we're going to take that train of thought and we're going to think that way, then you have to take certain scriptures out.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed.
Absolutely.
The very essence of God creating us.
Yeah.
And then placing us in a garden, mm-hmm. and then say, tend the garden,
right.
means that he created us to be workers. Yeah,
to work. Right. And even an illustration that you used in the sermon with Paul, right, with the planting and watering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't just say, since God's going to do the increase thing, I'm just not going to plant. I'm
right,
just
right,
not
right.
going to do anything, right? I'm just going to let God do all the work. Because it'll be better if God does it all anyway, mm-hmm. right? If God just did it all, it'd be better than if I even had my sinful heathen hands in it, right? And we use it as an excuse. We hide behind it. And I think of the verse Romans 6, 1 and 2, because this is not an uncommon mindset to think like this as it pops up. Because what is Romans 6, 1 and 2 talk about? It's them asking, if grace abounds when we sin, should we just sin more?
Yeah.
So there'll be more grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
This train of thought is not uncommon. I'm not just making this train of thought up. This shows up. This is something that people think about. Why? Because we're humans and it's what we do, right? And so there's a big, big difference, because I'm telling you, it is, I say it's controversial because whenever I talk about it, I have to do a lot of explaining.
Yeah.
I really do. People really don't like it when I start talking about that. But there's a difference between presumption and faith.
There's a huge difference.
Because presumption is going to say, God's got it, so my effort doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. That's just me presuming.
Yeah.
On God.
Yeah.
Just take me out of it. I don't want to do anything. And we can make it sound super spiritual of just, oh, I'm just a sinner. I would just mess it up or blah, 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 blah. We can make all kinds of excuses. Where faith says, I'm going to prepare as much as I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure I'm what I'm supposed to be. But still, I'm going to leave the outcome to God because I know I need him.
Every text in scripture always has to be taken in context.
Absolutely.
Right. And it's not just the context of the verses surrounding it,
right.
or the chapter that it's in. Yeah. It's the context of all scripture.
All scripture.
Right.
Yes.
And Absolutely. So, you know, sometimes the danger of preaching a message like I did on Sunday, where the emphasis is, okay, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's indwelling right. you. You know, live by faith, not by sight.
Yeah.
In the area of witnessing, you know, it's not so much be afraid of what people say or do. Just do what God tells you to do.
Right.
And it'll be the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The danger of that is then, as you know, leaving out some of the context of
right.
what you're talking about right now, which is the people who would say, okay, now I have an excuse not to witness.
Right.
I'll just live my life, leave it up to the rest as to, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, how he's going to do it.
Because God's got it.
So but that's not the context. Because the context, even with this, is the verses in chapter, at the end of chapter 15,
yeah.
where he says, listen, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. He's going to be a witness of me, but ye also are going to be witnesses for me.
Yeah.
You know, and then later, as after the resurrection, before his ascension, you know, how many times did he give the commission? Hey, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. It's not the Holy Spirit doing the preaching. You're doing the preaching.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear unless someone goes and preaches, you know? Yeah. So
there's the Bible is a Bible. It's action. It's
yes,
a call to action.
Exactly.
To the work.
But the action is I obey what God's called me to do.
Yeah.
And I leave the rest up to him.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Because then if we don't, we're trying to force the issue. You know, I was sharing with someone this morning, you know, me as a pastor, you know, has God called me to, as his under shepherd, build this church? Obviously, yes.
Right.
There are things that he has called me to do, and he has laid them out very clearly. These are the responsibilities that you have as a pastor.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what is my responsibility? To obey the things that he's called me to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and I've done this, I get caught up in, how do I grow this church?
Right.
You know, do I use this method or that method? Or I go over here and I do this. And I get so consumed with trying to make it happen that all he's asked me to do is just simply obey and he will do the rest.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So does that mean I stop doing things? No. It just means do what you're called to do.
Yeah.
Let everything else happen.
Yeah. You just release the outcome.
Right.
That's God's territory.
And it's the same thing with any of us when it comes to witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's just told us to be a witness. How? Through our lifestyle and through our conversation.
Yeah.
Through our words. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, to be an effective witness,
right,
you have to be a person who is obedient and living by faith.
Yeah.
Right? It's amazing how this thing just all works together.
Yeah. Well, it does. And that's the beauty of the Bible, right? Is that you have this big book, massive book with a ton of verses, a ton of chapters. You have a book with 66 books in it.
Right.
And many authors.
Yeah.
Many authors. And two really big, like, time period differences.
Oh, yeah. Old Testament, New Testament. Huge.
And yet, everything agrees.
Yeah.
Everything is unified.
Yep.
Everything works together. Nothing contradicts.
That's right. Yeah.
And so when you're looking at, like you already said, like when you're looking at anything in Scripture, you have to take all of it together because it all works together. And that's the beauty of it all.
So the question that came up for me, how do you know if your hesitation to witness? Okay, so I think there are times when you have to have great discernment.
Right.
Okay. Now, that discernment doesn't come from me. The discernment comes from my time in the Word of God, my experiences, and the Holy Spirit bringing that all together in my heart and mind.
Yeah.
And so there are times when I'm sitting with someone or around or in a situation where I feel like I need to witness, but there's this hesitation that comes up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So how do I discern if that is legitimately a concern?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be very cautious about being judicious in what I say and not say.
Right.
Right. Or is it me just actually not wanting to,
right? Yeah,
you know, not wanting to do what God's called me to do, but I'm kind of masquerading or disguising it as prudence. So, well, I'm just being prudent about it, but really, I'm not being prudent. I'm just being disobedient.
Right,
right,
right.
In the message as I was preaching, I was talking about, you know, the focus was really about releasing the demand to control the outcomes, right? Yeah. But there's another real question that sort of is underneath the surface of all that.
Right.
And that's, how do you tell the difference between a faith that is trusting the Holy Spirit and a foolishness that's ignoring wise counsel?
Right.
Right. Because there are times when you shouldn't say something.
Right.
I mean, there are times when you're not being an effective witness. You're just poking the bear.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, because I'll give you a, this is going to be, now I'm going to get controversial. Okay. So you push me into this. All right. So abortion clinics.
Oh boy. Oh man. I feel okay. Like yours was the bigger jump.
So how many churches push, okay, you know, somebody go stand outside the abortion clinic,
right,
and proclaim the gospel, tell people to repent, and so you got these people who are out there with their signs and they're standing on the corner, and they are being a witness.
Right.
Okay. So at this point, are we truly being a witness? Or are we just poking the bear? Because my contention is, how many of those people are you really going to win to Christ?
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest. Now, I'm not saying that standing outside of an abortion clinic, okay, and trying to witness to people is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are times when we have to have great discernment,
right,
on whether this is effective or not effective. And I think that discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. But then there's also times when we don't do what we're supposed to do.
Right.
And we're saying we're having discernment and prudence. So we keep swinging this pendulum back and forth. And what happens in the end? Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. So the honest answer, I think, is that we have to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we be obedient in the context of whatever is going on.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No. For example, if I'm at Thanksgiving and I'm sitting at the Thanksgiving table with my family and the door opens for a conversation about the gospel,
right,
be obedient, step through it.
Yeah.
Right. Get in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I am sitting, let's say I'm in a public setting somewhere.
Right.
Right. And there's a person that is just in my face about me being a Christian.
Right.
Right. And they're trying to make a scene.
Right.
They're not really trying to understand or even listen to what you have to say.
Right.
Okay. So what is the prudence then?
Just let
the Bible says the soft answer turneth away wrath, right?
Yeah.
So in that moment, it's not for me to keep pressing,
right,
and keep pushing.
Yeah.
No, I should be willing to step back at that point.
Right.
Let the whole situation diffuse itself so that I don't lose my testimony.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of believers actually lose their testimony in that moment.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Starts becoming into a scream, get into the scream, screaming competition, right?
Yeah.
For everybody.
So I think you've got to be willing to understand the situation and let the Holy Spirit guide you.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah.
And there is obedience, steps of obedience that you need to take in all of those situations.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. Well, I think it is possible to speak truth,
mm-hmm,
not in love.
Right, exactly.
There's a reason we're commanded to speak it in, yeah, love, because it can be spoken not in love. Mm-hmm. It can be spoken like it's a weapon.
Yeah.
It can be spoken to hurt people.
There's a difference between being a blessing and blessing someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I have someone that is just not ready to hear it,
mm-hmm,
I can continue to try to shove it down their throat,
yeah,
and make them angry,
yeah,
and I can sit there and maybe start feeling superior. Oh, I'm just giving them truth, mm-hmm, you know, but really, I'm just stirring the pot, yeah. Right? Truth can be spoken, not in love,
yeah.
And sometimes you're in a situation where it's not going to be, it's just not going to be taken that, yeah, way,
mm-hmm,
and it's time to just say, okay. Maybe I've planted a seed.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah.
It's time to step away. It would not be prudent for me to continue to just press this. Let's just step away. Plant a seed and step away.
I think, you know, the as I'm thinking through this as we're talking about it, I think sometimes we see obedience. We don't see obedience the same across the board.
Right.
Right. What I mean is, you know, we talk a lot about obedience and witnessing, which is true. And there's obedience.
For sure.
But there's also obedience in communication.
Yeah. No. Bible has plenty to say about the tongue. Yeah. That's for sure.
No corrupt communication.
Yeah.
And I can be corrupt in my communication to be obedient and sharing the witness of Christ, the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying back down from people. I'm just saying that there are times when you have to learn, is this a moment in which I need to be using good communication as I'm trying to be a witness and balance the two at the same time?
Right.
Versus I'm just going to be a witness and I'm just going to say whatever I want to say.
Remember
that
even Satan quoted scripture.
Right. So the pendulum, and you hear me talk about it all the time, I always talk about we need balance and everything, right?
Yeah.
And so the pendulum can swing to, I'm never going to say anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Because I don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose friendships. And by the way, I don't know what's going to happen if I say it, so I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Two, I'm just going to go out there and say anything and everything I want, and you know,
shove it down people's throat. Doesn't matter. Don't care.
And I don't think either one of those pendulums are scriptural or biblical.
Yeah.
Right. The balance is in the middle, where I'm living a life of obedience.
Yeah.
I've written down here James 4:8, which says, "Draw nigh unto God, and He shall draw nigh unto me." And in fact, look at that real quick, because I pointed this out this morning.
Yeah.
We read that verse, but we forget what's around it. Because verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God.
Yeah.
So before I draw to Him, I have to submit to Him.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Then it says, after that, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So there's again, the work is on me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm the one that's got to humble myself. I'm the one that's got to submit. I'm the one that's got to commit to obedience. And that is me drawing nigh to Him.
Yeah.
As I do that, He draws nigh to me.
Right. Yeah.
So how does this work in witnessing? Okay. The obedience part is be a witness.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So humble yourself, purify your heart, do what He's called you to do.
Yeah.
You know, have discernment as you do it. But as you do it, and you're drawing nigh to Him, He's drawing nigh to you.
Right.
And now there's this synergy, for lack of a better term, between you and the Holy Spirit that becomes a very powerful thing that God can use in helping people come to know Him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
I don't know how in the world I got into that, but
that's what I say. That was a deep topic.
The more I think about this thing of obedience, the more I begin to understand just how important that is to, for lack of a better term, activate God's Spirit and work and ministry in my life.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think a key thing you said is just be willing to let the Holy Spirit correct you. I think about Paul and his missionary journeys. You know, Paul started on a missionary journey over here. Holy Spirit said no.
Yeah.
Started one over here. But no. It took him a few tries before he got the one where the Holy Spirit wanted him to go. Yeah. But I'm saying the Holy Spirit wasn't stopping him because that was a bad thing for him to go witness to those people.
Yeah.
It just wasn't exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do right then.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to say, no, don't go do that good thing.
Yeah.
Because I have a good thing over here that I need you to do.
Right.
And it's just be willing to let the Holy Spirit just correct you.
And, you know, thinking about Paul, I think people get a lot of misconceptions about Paul.
Yeah, how so?
Especially when it comes to, okay, him going from town to town to village to village and his witnessing.
Right.
And over the years, as I've been in church and I've heard a lot of preaching on witnessing and soul winning and evangelism and outreach and all this. It's all this, go out and throw it in their face. Throw it in their face.
Right.
Throw it in their face. Because that's what Paul did. Paul threw it in their face, but Paul didn't throw it in their face.
Right, yeah.
You read Acts, and you will find that almost every time he went into a city or a village, the first place he went was to the synagogue.
Straight to the synagogue. Yep.
To people that already were talking about God.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so he spent days. Sometimes, like,
days. And he was there sharing the gospel with people who were already understanding the concept of a God,
yeah.
A single God.
Yeah.
Right? And in the process of him sharing the truth of Scripture,
yeah.
Right? People got saved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit did his work.
Yeah.
And people said, well, what? But people didn't like it. They threw him out. Yeah, because God said, Christ said,
right.
They're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you because why? They hate me.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it wasn't because of what Paul was preaching that people got mad. It was as people's lives were being changed.
Right.
And people were losing money.
Right, yeah.
then they would get mad.
Well,
right?
You think there were people worshiping this unknown God. So what does he do?
He doesn't go around criticizing. You don't see him walking up to the God of whatever and criticizing that God and criticizing that God. No, he just was walking along, sees this one to an unknown God, say, hey, guess what? Hey, bud.
I know him.
Let me tell you.
I know him. Let me tell you about the unknown God. Because he's certainly not represented in this room here.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think the point that I'm trying to make is that we have this misconception that we've got to go out there and throw things in people's face.
Right, yeah.
And that's not what's taught in Scripture.
No. Often the most effective way to witness is to witness to people that you already have a relationship with.
You're going to have you're going to have better opportunities.
Yeah.
They're going to listen to you more.
Yeah.
Because they already have a relationship with you.
Yeah.
They've seen your life.
Yeah.
They've seen the moments when you've struggled. They've seen how you've turned to God in those moments.
Yeah.
And there's something about that.
Yeah. No, there absolutely is. There absolutely is.
I think our biggest problem, and we talked about this in staff meeting this past week, is that we spend more time with people in the church than we do with people outside the church.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, that's a whole different subject for a whole different time. We're opening a big can of worms that we go there. But my point is that you see Christ, he's with the publicans, he's with the sinners, he's with the Zacchaeuses, he's with the woman at the well.
Absolutely.
He's with people out there in the community who need him.
Yeah.
Right? And we as a church and we as a people, sometimes we withdraw from the community that needs him.
Yeah.
When we're supposed to be in the community that needs him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's a great segue to go right into we've got Anniversary Sunday.
That's right.
That this Sunday.
Absolutely.
It's the 47th.
Yeah.
And the theme for the Anniversary Sunday is still on mission. Is so exciting about this particular anniversary is we are getting ready to launch a brand new outreach ministry. And we can't wait to share that with all of you because it is going to get us into the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's going to get us into the lives of people who are searching and looking.
Absolutely.
And the message that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday, which I'm committed, This is all for all of our people, right?
Yep.
Because I want them to have their watches out. I'm committed to preaching a 15-minute mini sermon because of some other things that we're doing. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. You got to come this Sunday. You got to be here. We're going to have a great Sunday.
Awesome Sunday.
And as always on Anniversary Sunday, We have potluck afterwards.
That's right.
And we're going to have Owen's Market fried chicken, which everybody loves and enjoys. And it's just going to be a great time of just remembering that Christ gave us a mission. We're still on that mission. Yes, we haven't quit. We're not giving up.
Yeah.
And we got something new.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Amen.
It's going to be good.
You want to share something with Better Together Wednesdays? So we're getting to, we're getting to the end.
I know.
The end of the summer.
Man, it is a shame. I'm going to miss Wednesdays. Yeah. Because I tell you what, I have this. We have discovered some new chefs through this. I'm telling you,
it's some good food, man.
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. And tomorrow's going to be just as good because it is grill night, and I am waiting for someone to bring just bacon wrapped chicken skewers. Oh. Like that's the challenge. If you're listening in right now, someone, please. That sounds amazing.
So we're gonna do what the Aussies say. We're gonna throw things on the Barbie.
Throw it on the Barbie. That's right. Everyone's just bringing something for the grill, right?
That's right.
So bring
and sides. Any sides you want to bring or desserts.
You can throw some corn on the grill. Yeah. I pop my head real quick. Some corn on the cob. Throw that on the grill. Oh man, that's good.
It's going to be awesome
stuff.
Yep.
But grill night. So that's what brings people to throw on the grill. And like I said, like he already said, it's coming to an end. So it's almost gone.
Now, let's because people are going to be saying, okay, what's ending and what's starting?
Right.
So the Better Together Wednesdays for the summer is ending.
And?
But Wednesday nights is not ending.
That's right.
So, we're transitioning to
Calvary Clubs.
Calvary Clubs. We're going to have a family night on Wednesdays where adults and parents will be in an adult Bible study. We'll have the teens in a Bible study. And we'll have Calvary Clubs, which the kids will be in. And everybody's going to be studying the same topic, same subject each night. So you can take it home as a family, talk about it through the rest of the week. And our new kids clubs is awesome. It's just going to be awesome. It teaches the kids not just scripture and principles from the Word of God, but it also it will teach them how to serve in the local church. Which I think is something that we often fail to teach our kids. And so we're trying to do that, and that's going to be starting this coming
September,
Wednesday.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great. Small groups is coming back. We'll be talking about small groups again.
Doing that every other week, giving that a test for the year. So a lot of good things coming up. A lot of good things coming up.
Here at Calvary Baptist Church.
And,
if you are listening and you don't have a church and you're in the area, come by. Sunday.
Show up tomorrow. We'll bring something for the grill. Just hop in. You're welcome. You're welcome.
We're going to close in a word of prayer, and that'll end episode 16. And we'll be back next week with another episode. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, what a great message that you gave us this past Sunday. Obviously, something that you spoke to your disciples so many years ago and still very applicable to us today. Lord, we do struggle. We struggle with a lot of things in our life, but probably the biggest thing that we struggle with is just living by faith instead of living by sight. And Lord, the whole reason we live by sight so many times is simply because we want to control the outcome. We want to be assured that everything is good in our life. And when we can't see things, we don't have that assurance. But Lord, that means faith. And faith means just trusting you, living according to your principles, your promises, being obedient to you in every area of our life, knowing that your Spirit indwells us, knowing that he's working in and through us. And that, Lord, yes, the outcome is always up to you. And Lord, you have made many promises concerning that, but our simple duty is just to be obedient. So Lord, may through this podcast, through the message this past week, messages that are coming from the rest of John chapter 16, Lord, may we be encouraged in our life for you, and living by faith. I pray that you'll bless our anniversary Sunday, and especially the launch of this new outreach ministry. And Lord, it's just going to be, I think, a great, great opportunity for our church. And we're looking forward to what you're going to do through Calvary Baptist Church the rest of this year and as long as you tarry before you return. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again.
See you next week.